banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU and a broadcast, a podcast.
Podcast.
At comicbookdaily.com.
Yes.
.com. I'm your host, Walter Duralia, joined by my illustrious other host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Walter, how are you today?
Chris, I'm doing fantastic. You?
I'm doing great. And you know, I liked how he said other host, because we've been getting a little bit of flack about the whole notion of co-host. I don't know why, but there are some of our listeners don't like the idea that we're co-hosts.
We're co-hosts.
I don't really quite understand.
We are the hosts with the most.
We're both hosts. So to me, that's co-hosts. But hey, you know what? As long as we're hosts, that's all good.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And you know what? We missed the show last week. We are frothing at the bit a little bit to talk about comics because we were in withdrawal last week.
Absolutely. Well, you know, last week was orientation week at McMaster University, and unfortunately, we couldn't be there during the whole orientation week. We had our own issues and things that we couldn't be there, but we're back. And better than ever, in my opinion.
Bigger and badder, better than
that's
ever.
Right,
yes.
That's right.
Yes. Wednesday, Chris, today, and Wednesday brings us together every week to talk about new comics, to talk about the stuff hitting the stands this week. And I know that our producer, Anthony Falcone, has been busy getting us sponsors for our new this week. So,
yes.
New this week, who's paying us for new this week?
The new this week has been brought to you by the Daily Bugle, offering an unbiased opinion of that cowardly, glory-seeking criminal Spider-Man. The Daily Bugle is your only choice for serious news in New York City.
Wow.
Yes. Brought to you by the Daily Bugle.
The Daily Bugle.
Yes, of
course. Well, good. All right. Well, the Daily Bugle is getting their money's worth this week because fans of comics are going to head into their local comic book stores today.
They are.
And look for stuff to read.
Well, yeah, they generally do.
And before that, and I know a lot of people are doing this now, they're usually going to tune in to you and I.
Really?
For advice.
People actually listen to this?
Oh, absolutely.
That's crazy.
And we're going to steer them in the right direction today.
Well, we should, really.
We're going to steer them away from Web of Spider-Man number 12.
You know, I don't understand why they tried to put out a Web of Spider-Man comic again. I mean, it was fairly crappy back in the day, and it's fairly crappy now. So
now, you know, I'm going to defend Web of in the old days.
All right,
because
all right.
some good things happened in Web of. What's the guy? I forget the guy's name. Here I am, a comic guy. The guy that ended up becoming Venom.
Eddie Brock.
Yeah, Eddie Brock.
Eddie
he
Brock.
Was introduced in a Web of.
Right? Yeah, okay.
You know, so Web of did some good things.
The good thing about Web of, it did have its place. I shouldn't be hounding on it so badly as I am. Of course, there was a number of miniseries that came out that involved Web of. Namely, of course, was the Kraven's Final Hunt.
Right.
And that was a six-issue miniseries that spanned the three different issues.
Spectacular, amazing.
And amazing, yeah.
Right.
And that, of course, was phenomenal.
And don't forget Maximum Carnage.
Maximum Carnage,
crossed over into Web of as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things that were happening in Web of at the time. It's just, you know what? It was the poorest of the three Spider-Man
titles. You're right. Well, the thing with this Web of is, you know, a year or two ago, or whenever they started it, I forget, Marvel promises us, hey, we're going to amazing. Three times a month, so you
yes.
can get three quality Spider-Man comics every month, continuity, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then, you know, I don't know how many months in, they break their promise and they hit us with a Web of as well.
Yeah.
And then 12 short issues later, they're canning it.
Well, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of amazing Spider-Man comics coming out. And, of course, this week, we're going to see three separate amazing Spider-Man comics. And so, you know, is it possible that maybe people are just getting a little inundated with Spider-Man? I mean, is that possible?
No.
I don't know.
No, absolutely not. Because, you know, they can ship two amazing Spider-Mans a week or you know, that will still only make it eight amazing Spider-Mans. But it's the same for month.
Right.
But it's the same continuity. So you want to keep up with your, you know, if they can produce a quality comic every week of your favorite character within that same title. Within that same title, you're going to be gobbling it up. Where the problem comes in is like what's happening with Thor a month from now is there are eight different publications of Thor, eight different writers, eight different, you know, it's just a mess.
But you know, I think part of the problem is that you hit the nail on the head there, and that was, of course, when you said quality issues. I don't know how quality these Amazing Spider-Man's comics are coming out to be able to be published on a two a week basis. It's not even bi-weekly.
Right. Well, I think two a week is just a shipping glitch type of thing.
Sure, okay.
I don't know. I mean, Spidey fans are out there in droves.
Yeah, so, that's true.
And Marvel, that's one of their flagship titles. But all right, so Web of Spider-Man number 12 today, to be avoided, because 13 won't come up.
You know, if Marvel was listening to us right now, that would be horrible. We're actually telling people not to pick up certain comics of theirs.
I mean, you know what? There are, as a collector, that sells old collectible comics too, last issues are always very popular. Like, last issues are very collectible.
Well, that's true because historically speaking, last issues tend to have a lower print run.
Yes, they do.
Last issues of Transformers, last issues of G.I. Joe,
Conan,
Star Wars.
Yeah, Conan.
They all seem to be – they have a very low print run because nobody's buying it at the time.
Right.
And then years later, people are looking to complete their collections and then they can't find them because there's not very many of them around.
Right. All right. Also for Marvel, I'm just going to mention Avengers number 5 coming out today. This is, you know, Marvel firing at all cylinders. They got a lot riding on the Avengers franchise with all the characters bringing out their solo movies, all heading into the big Avengers movie.
Yes. And, of course, we've got actually online there's we'll talk a little bit about it later in the show. But there's previews of the new Captain America movie coming out. And from what I'm hearing is that there's good reviews so far of what's happening in the Captain America movie. But we'll talk about that later on the show.
All right. Chris, let's jump over to DC. And I don't know how to say this. I mean, I love comics. But I'm trying to scour. I'm trying to pick one of the DC books.
Well, yeah. You know what? I know what you're going to say because I was right there with you. We were both looking at what was coming out for DC this week, and
Slim Pickens.
It's a big sigh from me about DC. You know what? Not a whole lot. You know, I'm a JSA fan, so I'll be buying the JSA special that's coming out that has to do with Magog, and it's sort of a wrap-up of the whole Kingdom Come prequel storyline that's coming out, and this is where we find Magog, finds out that he goes against, becomes sort of a bit of a villain-type guy. You know, I'm a fan of this stuff, but man, you know, it's Slim Pickens, man.
Like,
you
know, DC has fallen off. DC, we need – listen, first of all, it would be great if we had three great publishers.
Yeah.
Not great. I mean, there are great publishers. I'm talking about three market-dominant publishers used to be two, and I think it's slowly moving to one.
Well, you know, it seems like that, doesn't it? You know, it does. But we shouldn't be so hasty, you know. The thing is that it seems like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I want to know what you think about this, but it seems like DC has really poured all of their energy into the Green Lantern franchise, and now... you know, every week we see something else that's Green Lantern coming out, and you know, man, if you're not a Green Lantern fan, if you didn't jump on that bandwagon, there's not a whole lot that's coming out for you as a collector or as a reader, right? There is another Green Lantern Emerald type book coming out this week. I don't even remember what the name of it is, but there's something coming out this week. But you know what? How many times can we report on Green Lantern?
Here's what DC needs to do. They need to clone Geoff Johns.
Yes.
And have him work in the Superman universe.
Yes.
Happen work, the whole Green Lantern, darkest whatever universe. And, you know, I'll give Morrison the Batman whole thing.
But you know what? Better yet, I say clone Geoff Johns. I mean, he did wonders for Flash when it was, get the third Geoff Johns clone on Flash. He did great on Flash. Give him another, you know, I don't want to say second-rate character, but one of those mid between first and second, because Flash really isn't a second rate, but he's not a first rate. He's no Superman. He's no Batman.
He's one and a half.
Right. Green Lantern's a one and a half. Give him one of those kind of characters. Maybe that's maybe a half or even a two. You know, give him a Martian Manhunter or Aquaman. Give him an Aquaman. Oh, you know what?
Here's the thing, though. Is, I mean, Geoff Johns, like you said, remember when he was doing all those Superman titles and stuff, and he was really kind of, wow, this is good stuff.
Right, you know?
And then he jumped over into the Green. There's only one of them. And it's like, oh, man, if we're pulling him off, Green Lantern is selling like he's never sold before because of all of this.
Sure.
And if you pull him off and try to replicate that in the Flash universe, then Green Lantern will just
win. The sales are going to die.
Right. So that's not the – I don't think that's the solution for DC. I think that – I don't know what the solution for DC is. Is put out better books for a flipping week than the ones you and I are looking at, for crap's sake.
Well, maybe hire some more writers.
Yeah.
Really is what you could do for one. I mean, do something that maybe that Marvel has done in the past, and why not hire some mainstream writers? You've got, even if it was a brief stint, they had Orson Scott Card doing some Iron Man, and he is, of course, the writer of Ender's Game.
Yep.
They've got all the whole Stephen King franchise stuff coming out. So, you know, why can't DC, I mean, heck, they're affiliated with Warner Brothers. They are a subsidiary with Warner Brothers. Why can't they hire some really great big-name writers to put out some books?
They've tried it, too. Maybe they just gave up too early. I remember Jodi Picoult, she did was a Wonder Woman run?
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's something amiss at DC. They're obviously dropping the ball here because Marvel is. I mean, next week's show, Chris, remind me what we will do is we'll review market share.
Okay.
And I didn't bring those figures with me, but I have a feeling Marvel is running away with
probably a little more dominant these days.
Right.
I would say. Right. Yeah. I would say. Okay. Okay. Well, what else?
Let's Marvel and DC. They bore me. well, Dark Horse has one of those one for a dollar comic coming out.
Right.
Serenity and the Umbrella Academy.
Well, you know, I love the fact that Dark Horse, in a time where it's not Free Comic Book Day and there's really no events going on, they're still trying to push comics as an industry, and they're trying to get more people involved, and so they're putting out a couple of comics. They've had this; it's called One for a Dollar Comics, and of course they're publishing all these comics that they're only a dollar to get people sort of started into comics and to jump onto the whole comic book industry. And so now we've got the Serenity comic, which is based on the Firefly TV show, and we've got the Umbrella Academy, which is a long-standing comic that's been winning lots of awards and doing very well.
Now, you know what, Chris? I could tell you're like a half-full type of guy because the way I see these dollar comics is let's go back to the well and try to make some money on past successes rather than create some creative new stuff.
Yeah, you know, I can see your point. However, okay, let's not forget that Dark Horse is really, they've really concentrated and they've really made their name based on
being the Dark Horse?
Proven successes.
Okay.
I'll call it.
Yeah. All right.
So,
yeah. Licenses.
So they take licenses. They take Star Wars, Serenity. They take, all these other kind
Conan.
Of Conan, all these things that have proven success, and they just keep on pumping it out here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the way I see it, I have no problem with any company that's going to offer comics at a cheap price to get people involved in the industry. Because once you get them hooked on one comic, they may branch off into something else. Because then all of a sudden that comic book store isn't so scary anymore, right? They get to go in and they get to look at something and they, something's familiar about this store that I can look at.
But like, is a dollar copy of the very first Y or the very first Preacher or the very first Watchmen, is a dollar copy now? I'm just asking, are those comics not dated? Like, I don't know. They're probably not, but like, you know what I'm saying? They're going, oh man, this was awesome 9 years ago.
I don't know if they're dated, but you know, maybe in a way they're a little bit dated because there's certainly nothing going on that's concurrent with what's going on today, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, they might pick up the $1 issue and then go off and buy trades, knowing that they're still good. Whereas I like to think that maybe they're going to buy that $1 comic and then they're going to come back and try to find another comic and maybe spend $4 on a comic and try something that's a little bit better or a little bit different.
Right. Okay.
Right. So.
All right. Well. Anyways, Chris. You know, I don't know if we have a busy show or not. Actually, it's pretty well. It's a slow news week.
It's kind of a slow news week, but you know what?
You and I have found some gem things to talk about.
We did. We found lots of stuff. But you know what? Let me just play very quickly here. We've got a little bit of a musical interlude here. And the fans have asked for the old Wonder Woman theme song once again. Geez, from 1975. And so give me 1 second here to cue it on up here. And here it is.
The only hope for freedom and democracy is...
Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman.
All the world's waiting for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights and the old black, white, and blue. You and the wonders you can do. Make a hawk and dove, stop a war with love, make a liar tell it true.
Wonder Woman, get us out from under. Wonder Woman,
all our hopes are pinned upon you. You do. Stop the bullet cold, make the axis fold,
change their minds and change the world.
Wow, Chris. You know, the best line in that song was in your satin tights.
See, I kind of like Stop a War with Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's where it is for me.
I stopped listening after In Your Satin Tights. So. totally lost me.
Only because you got a visual. I understand.
Chris, yeah. Industry news.
Yes.
We are going to talk first about a very important thing, I think. Back, I don't know when, I guess back in 86, British Columbia elected a premier, Bill van der Zalm.
Okay.
And he was actually a young Dutch immigrant from Holland.
With a name like van der Zalm? I can't believe it. That's crazy.
I guess in a recent interview, he said that it was comic books,
yeah,
that helped him learn English.
Really?
Yeah. He was reading Archie, Donald Duck, and Superman. And he says, basically, I learnt English reading comic books.
That's, you know what? And this is one of the things that I've often said about comic books is that they are another form of literature out there. And when I was used to work at the comic book store called the Silver Snail in Hamilton years and years ago.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, okay, sure you haven't. Anyways, one of the things that you know, people used to come in, and every once in a while they would scoff about, you know, comic books. And I would try to tell my customers that, you know, why not get people involved in or kids reading comic books? Because if there's years ago there was some sort of statistic saying that most that there's like, you know, 70% of people or 50% of people after high school didn't read anything that they didn't need to, kind of thing, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
They didn't read the newspaper, they didn't read novels.
Right.
So, you know, I was trying to say that, you know, why not get anybody to start reading at an early age and get them to read comic books? At least they're reading something. And certainly they're going to learn the English language. And they're gonna broaden their mind, and they're gonna use their imagination, and they're gonna develop language skills through. Yes, there are comic books, but there's still lots of writing involved. So why not get them to read something, right?
Well, you got a good point, Chris, and we're gonna. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous segue into really the next thing I want to talk about, and it is the fact that this is the first show this year since the school year started.
Right.
So this is kind of our back to school.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, so why not learn?
Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit about the comics in the schools.
Yes.
Now, you, I know, are an educator.
Yeah.
You teach comic history. You teach comic thing. Now, I'm going to ask you. I'm putting you on the hot seat here.
All right.
Do you have to learn how to read a comic properly?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is a few years ago, I taught a course called Sequential Art Practices, and you would be amazed at the number of people that didn't know how to read a comic. They would open it up and
it sounds kind of dumb, doesn't it? Though
for guys like you and I, it's unheard of. It's like not knowing how to read in general,
right?
Like,
right.
But not, they didn't know how to look at a comic book and how to go from panel to panel. Does it go down? Does it go up? Like, I don't know what I'm looking at here. How do I read it? How do I read the word balloons? And
mm-hmm.
and I had to actually teach the students that how to visually read these things. How do they had to look at the panel mm-hmm. as well as read it at the same time, so they could kind of.
What do you do first? Do you look at the picture first and then read it, or do you read it and then look at the picture?
You know, I was trying to get the students to look at the picture quickly.
Yes.
You know, without absorbing too much of what's going on, read the panel, read the word balloons, uh-huh. and then look at the picture again to kind of, like, you know, see what's going on. They would read it and then look at it and then read it again. You know, sorry, look at it, read it, and then look at it again. And then that way they could kind of figure out what was happening in the panel. But without reading it first, they might not have a good clue. They might not grasp who was saying what. Because these are people that don't necessarily know the characters, so they don't know who's saying what at a particular time. I mean, you and I could probably, you know, breeze through a comic in, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. Whereas these people, were, you know, they may be taking a long time because they're not used to reading comics. And they're not used to the whole the comic literary process.
Right. So it's something that I guess it doesn't necessarily come naturally if you haven't read comics before. It is something that maybe people need to be taught a bit and stuff.
Well,
like that.
Certainly. I don't know about taught is probably a good word, but at least practiced anyways.
Right.
You know,
right. Okay.
Before they get an idea of how to read those comics.
Well, you know what I mean. Before we move on,
yeah.
I just realized we made a grave mistake.
Oh.
And our producer Anthony's going to kill us because the check will not come in.
Oh, dear.
But we forgot to mention that industry news is brought to you by LexCorp.
Yes.
LexCorp, making Metropolis the city of tomorrow today.
I believe that's a Mississauga's slogan, too. But, you know, it ain't.
Right. Well, as long as LexCorp sends the check, I don't care. All right. But I want to touch a little bit more on your point. Now, our store at Big B, actually libraries come to us and they ask for advice. They ask, hey, what should we carry?
Right. And you know what? This is a very interesting point because, you know, guys like you and myself, we've been in this industry for so long that it's second nature for us to know what would be a good comic and what would be a bad comic for kids to read. But for people on the outside, for people that aren't in this industry, it's really unfamiliar territory.
Well, they think all comics are for kids and all comics will be fine.
Exactly.
And some comics suck. A lot of comics suck.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, our advice is, listen, if it's not engaging the kid, it doesn't matter if it's a comic. They won't read it.
That's right.
Right? It's just because it's drawn and it has words to it and there's pictures and stuff does not guarantee the fact that the kids will take that out.
And conversely, one of the points I always try to make about comic books is that comic books, although they are they can appear to be a funny medium, they are another way of telling a story. They're not unlike theater, dance, music, prose, all those other kind of things. And that so people are telling these stories through comics, and sometimes they can be fantastic works of literature. Right, just because they're a melding of both prose and fine art together at the same time doesn't mean that they're a bastard of sorts, right?
Right, you know? right. And it's one of those things where if it's done right, the sum of the parts is the outcome is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah,
or something like that.
What's that? Synergy.
Yes.
Some of the parts is greater than the sum or something.
You know, you've screwed it up just as badly as I have.
Woo! All right.
Woo! Have another one, Chris.
I'd like to have one.
Chris, we're going to move on. And I want to talk next about, Charles Schulz, Peanuts. I mean, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have discussed before how we love the Saturday and the Sunday strips.
And of course, if you don't know, it's funny how a number of people don't actually know the cartoon as Peanuts. They just think of it as Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown, right. Right, okay. 60 years as United Feature Syndicate.
Right.
You know how on the bottom, I guess, you need a company. What happens is if you have a good strip.
You get syndicated.
You need it to get it syndicated by a good syndicated company like United Feature Syndicate, who has contracts with, let's say, 600 papers across North America or around the world or whatever. And then you funnel it through them. Well, they're actually losing. Peanuts will leave United Feature Syndicate and go to a Universal Digital Service.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, where I guess they're going to be online now. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I didn't read it. I'm not sure whether they'll be available in the papers anymore.
Right.
But they definitely will be in the offering for Universal's digital strip service.
You know what's funny? I always thought that was interesting because after Charles Schulz died years ago, they still kept the strip going. And they just started...
Well, it's basically reruns. It's like Seinfeld.
Yeah, they started reprinting it and doing reruns. And as far as I know, this is the only case that they've actually done that.
They
certainly haven't done that with other strips in the past, where if somebody has died or decided to stop, writing that particular.
I think it has a lot to do with his delivery is more philosophical than it is. It's not period pieces. It's not, let's say, Doonesbury,
which
was a great political satire. You couldn't rerun the Doonesburys from, let's say, the Reagan era, right? Because they're dated.
It wouldn't make any sense, yeah.
Whereas, it's the human condition that Schulz is reviewing with his kids and stuff. And the same message is as resonant today as it was 50 years ago,
right?
And I think that's why it works with
him. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
All right.
But at the same time, I'm sure there are other strips out there that have stopped that other features haven't been printing over the years because they're not as widely accepted as Peanuts slash Charlie Brown has been over the years.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the main thing is here, Charlie Brown lives on.
Absolutely, yes. Right. Yeah. Whether in digital form or in print media.
Lives on.
Lives on.
Long live Charlie.
Hey.
Chris.
Good grief.
You too. They're trying to get the big publicity machine out for the big Spider-Man musical now. Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
Yes.
I think the premiere or the preview session of it is happening from November to December.
Okay.
Where I guess the sneak screenings of it are. And these guys now, Bono and The Edge, are hitting the carpets now, doing the talk show circuits, and really trying to drum up business for this thing. I don't know if that's a good sign or bad. But.
You know, this whole Spider-Man musical has sort of been off again, on again for a number of months. Jeez, I think maybe even years. I think you and I first reported this like almost 2 years ago.
17 years ago on our first show, I think.
Absolutely. We were just young pups back then.
Young pups.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's been going wrong for a long time.
Yeah, it has been. Now, I guess they've been asking the guys. So The Edge, The Edge is, a great guitar player.
Yeah.
And a rock and roller. He's always got the toque on and stuff. Yeah. So I think he's part Canadian, to tell you the truth.
But, probably, yeah.
He's saying that his influences musically were West Side Story and The Music Man.
Really?
And exactly what I said. I'm having a hard time believing this. Now, these guys are out pushing this stuff. And they're going, I was really into West Side Story.
Now, is it that they're actually into West Side Story? Or maybe they saw it once? Really? I mean, come on.
I don't even know if they saw it once, to tell you the truth.
I mean, are you trying to tell me that The Edge, who's,
A Dublin-born
rock and roller for many, many years now. He's saying that he was influenced and, perhaps decided to get into playing the guitar because of West Side Story.
I personally think he's
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet.
Yeah. You know what, though? Listen, I don't think he wants to admit it, but I think it was South Pacific that really...
Yes, I somehow doubt it.
Yeah.
I somehow doubt it.
All right.
But you know what? This Spider-Man musical has been going on for has been in production for at least a couple of years now. If not at least a year and a half, and
Well, hey, listen, it's soon, it's here,
yeah,
and I think I've said this before. This may be a hit.
Okay.
This may be something that people will want to go see.
But I got to ask you this now: is this going to be the start of a number of Marvel musicals?
Maybe not even Marvel. Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, whatever. Comic book. Hey, they've infiltrated the whole flipping. movie industry.
Are we going to have Iron Man the musical?
Why not?
Iron Man
the
musical. Oh, Titanium Man, Titanium Man.
Hulk the musical. Oh, can you imagine?
You know, don't make me angry. You
no, this will be good. Batman the musical, Superman the musical, everything the
Dazzler
musical.
The musical.
Anything,
Howard
you name it.
Howard the Duck the musical.
Okay, maybe not Howard the Duck
the musical. Forbush Man the musical.
You never know.
Well, I'm just saying. But, you know,
the thing, though, is
how about the Untold Life of Willy Lumpkin, the mailman from Marvel, the musical? It could be like a sad, depressing story.
Listen, all I'm going to say to that is this: if if there's a string of hits, if there's a string of hits before it,
yeah.
they're just going to be scraping that barrel for anything.
I'm sure they will
it's
be.
Happening right now in movies.
Galactus the musical. Oh, how I hunger for a planet to eat.
Wow, Chris, didn't know you were tone deaf.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you know what? Before we butcher this piece of news anymore, I'm going to leave it. And
come on, I was just getting started.
No, yeah, that's why I'm ending it.
Oh.
Chris, Sandman.
Yes.
Sandman for TV. Now, you love Sandman.
Big fan of Sandman. It's actually, I've often said that it's my favorite storyline in comics of all time.
Yes. Now, Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
Wrote it.
He's the creator of the Sandman, the writer.
Yeah, and he did Coraline. He did a bunch of kids' books.
Yeah,
he
did all. He's
done
all kinds
of good stuff.
Movies
right?
and novels. Yep. Good Omens with Terry Pratchett, and as you said, Coraline.
Yeah, he did Green Lantern, Green Arrow. I think that whole
Mirror
run.
Mask
no, of course that was Neil Adams. Just testing you to see how much.
Sorry, I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay,
to
yeah.
Sorry.
See if you weren't.
No, I really wasn't.
But Sandman for TV.
Yeah.
Now Sandman is pretty dark.
It's extremely dark, and it's very fantastical, I'll call it. All the worlds are very fantasy realm-oriented, and I think for a particular movie like this, or sorry, for a TV show like this, it can be maybe a very difficult thing to have, because as you were saying, that this is a possible HBO. Is it HBO that's maybe
I'm
doing
not sure. They had it on cable. Now, it's kind of not – it's not
I think,
set yet.
I think
it could only work on cable is my point.
Well, I think what happened is I think HBO kind of had the rights, and they were kind of, you know –
they're probably thinking the same thing you and I are thinking.
Around,
it's like, what the hell? How do we do this?
Now right. But it's actually going to come to – from what I've heard, it's actually going to come to fruition. I'm not entirely too sure what the station is going to be. But the thing that I think with the success of other dark-ish shows like Supernatural, Fringe is a little bit dark. I think there's other shows out there that have a bit of a dark overtone to it. I think these kind of shows are lending itself very well to a television show like The Sandman.
Like The Sandman,
where
right,
there's,
right.
But the problem that I might have with this is that there's going to be lots of special effects involved that may or may not lend itself to television, because I don't know how much money can be thrown at a show like this.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And you can't make The Sandman a movie because it's too long.
It's far too broad sweeping. It would be great to see maybe a segment of a movie or something like a segment of the show, but I mean, in The Sandman, you got to remember, like, this The Sandman comic, for those of you who haven't read it, The Sandman is basically about Morpheus, who is the king of dreams, and he kind of controls people's dreams, and he goes around, and the whole story is all about the dreaming, all we'll call it. But throughout the series, he visits, hell. He visits other people's dreams. He visits, the waking world is this kind of like our world, it's ourselves. But I mean, a lot of these backgrounds and backdrops, I'll call it, are extremely special effect oriented. So there's like, you know, I mean, imagine trying to depict what, you know, Hades or hell would look like, right?
Right, so it's, man,
like, you know, I hope they can do it, but it's going to be a lot of work.
In a way, I guess, you see, I'm one of the weird guys that hasn't read Sandman, but I've read Promethea.
Right, Promethea, yeah.
Promethea,
yeah.
Sorry. And that is just funky far out, too. And
right.
I can't see them making – I've often thought that that would be cool to make. But you know what? I guess the litmus test might be, even though it is kind of bread and butter stuff, is Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They're Walking Dead is starting, I think, in October on AMC.
Yeah.
I think if that's a big hit, I think that these guys are just going to be really just grabbing this Sandman stuff and going to town with it.
If The Walking Dead is a big hit, I think we're going to see a lot more comic book related type stories being turned into
the larger series, right? Yeah. Like say, Why the Last Man. Stuff that you can't necessarily turn into a movie because it's just so long and so big.
Yeah, exactly.
They may, you know, the cable companies may be snatching these up for the nice season or 2 season long thing.
For sure.
And you're right. The Walking Dead may be that test that let's say, hey, if it works here,
maybe we can do something else with it.
Right.
You know what would be really cool? I mean, I know we talk about zombies an awful lot on this show, but you know what would be really interesting is over the years, Marvel has been producing the Marvel Zombies.
Yes.
And wouldn't that be great to see a Marvel Zombies movie?
That would be
Or TV show. I think, you know, to see Spider-Man as a zombie, but in live action, I think it would be really cool to see.
Yeah, that would
be
nice.
I think if you're listening, Marvel, this is something that you really got to key into and maybe...
you're right. Like that would be a great TV miniseries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, as opposed to a movie, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So. Excellent. Hey, Chris. Remember earlier you mentioned that we wanted to that you were checking out the websites about the Captain America movie, and I did like what I've seen so far.
I mean, what we're seeing in the pictures so far is kind of like speculation and. We're seeing like, you know, Captain America on his motorcycle, and then we're seeing what looks to be some sort of futuristic modern day kind of motorcycles, which it's reported that it could be from Hydra, which is one of the sort of the main villains of Captain America. But we're not too sure what's going on.
Check the pictures out. They're all over the net. They're on comicbookdaily.com too. They did a story on the pictures too. And now I don't know. I mean, has it gone crazy, Chris? Has everybody's like. There's reviews of pictures.
Yeah, I know. You know what?
There's like talk on the internet of, oh my God, they've just posted a new still of a production, a moment in production of the new Captain America movie. Let's speculate 100,000 pages of web content.
Bound to happen because, you know what, the Thor movie is going to be huge. The Captain America movie is going to be huge. And of course, the Avengers movie is going to be even huger.
Which movie will be huger, Thor or Captain America?
You know, I'm going to say Thor.
I got to go with Ditka. We'll find a way to win.
I'm going to go with Thor because I think that I don't know. I just like I think the cast is excellent. It's got Anthony Hopkins in it. Remember,
as
Odin. And Kenneth Branagh is the director. I think that overall, I think it's got a better start to it.
Yes.
Right?
With Kenneth Branagh in, I'm sure there will be a soliloquy in there somewhere.
Oh, at least one. At least one. I've seen the trailers for Thor, and it looks absolutely amazing. I think you know, Captain America, it might be a little bit dated of a character to do properly. I'm not too sure.
You know what, Chris? Hold on, though. It dated, yes, in a way, but dated, no, in a way, because that's what's on people's mind right now with, you know... In America, especially with the country seeming to be, you know, at siege, at war, at war.
Yeah,
you know, they were warring on two fronts for the last decade. Now they're pulling out of Iraq and, you know, now in Afghanistan or whatever. But the point is America always seems to be at war.
Oh yeah,
and their super soldier always seems to be in the forefront. He never goes away in the United States.
It's very true. But you know what? It almost seems a little bit too, for me. It seems like it's almost a little too close to home when you get a character like Thor. It's so fantastical that you can separate the reality. And you can say, okay, you know what, whereas Captain America, it's like, yeah, you know what, there's war going on, and so we could have a character like Captain America, but to dress him up in a red and blue suit might be a little weird looking.
So what I think I'm on the same boat with you here. So let's say you and I are going. Look, no, not that you and I would go to a movie together. Let's say we're double dating. Hold on.
Will you buy me popcorn?
Back it up. Right. Beep.
Beep, 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 beep. You know what? You do a terrible beep.
I know.
Beep, beep. Okay. That's awful. At least you know, beep, beep, okay. Beep. You got to at least lighten it up a bit there, buddy.
Listen.
Okay.
Okay, you and I are double dating.
Yes.
And we go to a movie.
Okay.
And we want to go to escapism.
Okay.
And we go to Thor.
Yes.
And it's all Norse mythology and it's all cool. And yeah. So we just let ourselves go.
Asgard and Rainbow Bridge. Enjoy. Yeah.
Right. And then we go to, say, Captain America that has to do with the United States in some sort of war.
Yeah.
And it's like we're remembering yesterday's headline.
Yeah.
And then we can't let go reality because we kind of can both, we're both adults. We both know how terrible war is.
Right.
And we both know that, listen, don't try to tell us that there's some guy that can escape bullets and escape roadside bombs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we just can't let our mind, because we're so stressed by war itself, we can't let our mind let go for Captain America.
I think that's very possible. But you know what? While you were saying that, I did think of the Iron Man movie, and of course, in the Iron Man movie, they kind of reorganized the origin, and instead of it being in, during the Korean War
Vietnam.
Of course, they made it into the Afghanistan War, and of course, then it became a little more realistic, but yet it was still a phenomenal movie.
Good
right?
point.
So,
good point.
So you know what?
Good point. No, good point. Valid point. And you're right. I thoroughly enjoyed Iron Man.
Wait, hold on. Did you actually see the Iron Man movie?
I saw Iron Man. Yeah.
Really,
Chris? I'm happy to inform you that my two children now are of the age where I can start watching superhero movies.
Oh, so have you seen Iron Man 2 yet? Or I guess it's not out on video.
Not out on video.
Oh,
yet.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So we're.
I guess you can have to say not on DVD now.
Right.
Yeah.
And not on Bluetooth. What do you call it?
Blu-ray.
Right. Not out on Blu-ray.
Right.
Or Bluetooth.
Or Bluetooth. Yeah.
So anyway, the Captain America, I don't want to rehash this enterprise, but everybody is looking forward to it. I just find it interesting that how much speculation on, like I said, man, the next, days and hey, there's a picture of this guy taking a leak. Woo! Let's talk about it.
I know. Right? People are excited about it, and all the power to them. And you know what? I think it's about time for another one of our musical segues. Once again, I've got something here from the Spider-Man cartoon from the 1960s, and this one's called "Go Get 'Em, Boys." And here you go.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, Chris, yes. You know, I could have saved Marvel $50 million on U2 and Bono and U2 and Bono fees. And by just going back and saying, hey, guys, you got this, you know, the most greatest probably soundtrack of a cartoon ever in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
With that 60s Spider-Man stuff.
Absolutely.
There's tune after tune just swings.
Oh, it's amazing. You know what? And that particular piece is used by hold on. There's a
Burl Ives.
No. You know what? There's a video outfit in the United States. I think they're out of Seattle called Something Weird Video. Mm-hmm. And they actually use that particular tune as part of their ongoing, what do you want to call it? Radio spots, and they have that at the very beginning of all of their movies. They show that with the logo and all that kind of thing. So they use that swinging Spider-Man soundtrack. So you know, obviously very well received.
Very, very nice, Chris. We're continuing on with industry news because we just have lots to talk about.
Yes,
I want to talk about. Remember a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, we talked about Wolverine 2, the making of Wolverine 2. Where there was these two directors, Robert Swentke and who the heck else was it? The David Slade, the guy that did Eclipse.
They were actually
in the running to direct Wolverine 2, but the studio is giving Hugh Jackman the decision to pick the director.
And we talked about the fact that you know what kind of power does Hugh Jackman have as a guy that he's the actor, he gets to choose the director. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, you know, Bogey going, Shay,
I want Orson Welles.
I want Hitchcock.
Listen here, see? I want Hitchcock to redirect my movie.
I think that's Edward G.
Oh, that's right, Edward G. Robinson. Right.
Or was that Bugs Bunny? Remember the rabbit? Remember, was it Muggsy?
Muggsy. Yeah, listen here, Muggsy.
Listen here, Muggsy.
Yeah.
You got none on me, Copper. Chris, Darren L. Aronofsky.
Yep.
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
Is now in the running to become one of the directors of the Wolverine 2 movie. Darren Aronofsky is replacing this guy, Robert Swentke, who apparently is out of the running now. So rather than just say, hey, David Slade, you won because Robert Swentke is out of the running now.
Yeah.
They bring another guy in that wants to do it.
And this is Darren Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky.
Right.
Now, apparently Darren Aronofsky has done The Wrestler.
I just like hearing you say Darren Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky. He's worked with Hugh Jackman on a movie called The Fountain.
Darren Aronofsky. Okay.
So, well, you know what? If I'm Hugh Jackman, let's just be Hugh Jackman right now for a moment. What's Hugh Jackman thinking right now? What's Hugh thinking?
You know what? I'm thinking that if I'm a Hugh Jackman, I'm thinking that, you know, I have my choice of whoever I want to have as my director for this movie. But you know what? I would think that the guy that did the Wrestler, which was with what's his name now? You know, that washed up star that became really famous again.
The guy that was Whiplash in Iron Man. I know the guy. He's a very famous guy.
Yeah. That famous
that
guy.
The guy that was in the movie with Bill Cosby's daughter. Mickey Rourke.
That's the guy. He was in a movie with Bill Cosby's daughter.
Well, not Bill Cosby's daughter. On the Bill Cosby show, that you know, the pretty daughter.
You mean? Really? He was in a movie with her.
No, we've forgotten her name. You know, we latch on. We remember one guy's name. Let's just stay there for a while. Rather than segue or tangent into some other name we don't know.
That's great. We're very good at what we do.
Right.
Anyways.
Well, what the hell was this article or this topic about anyway?
I don't know.
Was it about Iron Man?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Iron Man. He's great.
He's a cool cat. Listen, okay. So I guess is this guy, what's the actor's name?
Darren Jackman.
Darren Aronofsky. Hugh Jackman basically is like, here's an actor.
Yeah.
You know, an actor. Like, I don't know. Like Cary Grant.
Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Did you say Cary Grant?
Cary Grant. Yeah. Stoney Curtis. So here's an actor who knows nothing about filmmaking.
Well, you know, hold on a second.
And he's going, you know, who's going to have the better vision for this movie? Is it this schmuck Aronofsky or this schmuck
David Slade?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I watched part of The Wrestler, and if you want to have feeling and emotion, you know, Aronofsky is the way to go, because I was thoroughly depressed after watching about 20 minutes of it, and I had to turn the movie off.
Yeah, but it may not blend well to a superhero movie.
Well,
point.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, you have to fit the director with the right piece of work. And I don't know if Aronofsky is the right guy for Wolverine. I mean, we want to get action and adventure, as well as having some emotion and some insight into the character. And I don't know if Aronofsky is the guy to do that.
Do we really need emotion and insight into the character,
you know,
to
what?
Make a superhero
let's
movie
not,
work?
Let's not forget that you and I, although we have been around for 30 years in the comic book industry, a lot of people have not. And so a lot of people aren't as familiar with these characters as we are, such as perhaps our girlfriends or wives may not be as familiar with these characters and may want to get to know a little bit about the characters.
I guess that's a good point. All right. Well, point is here is that Hugh holds the cards, and you know, well, let's hope he makes the right decision.
You know what? I just remembered something. Just before we get to our next this section of comic culture, I have to say something here. After our last broadcast, I mentioned that remember we were talking about the Harvey Awards?
Yes.
I said that the Harvey Awards were created after the Harvey comics. I was completely wrong on that. One of our loyal listeners, Rob Haynes, wrote to me and said that the Harvey Awards was actually named after after Harvey Kurtzman. And you know, I have to give my hats off to you. I was misinformed, and of course, the Harvey Awards were not named after the Harvey comic books, but they were in fact after Harvey Kurtzman.
Chris, a true professional,
yes,
will come on the radio and admit and be corrected,
well,
and give kudos to the person that corrected him.
Absolutely.
So I commend you for that.
You know, absolutely. And you know what? I have no problem doing that, even though I am a comic book history professor.
Yes.
I should know these kind of things.
Can't know everything.
But you know what? I was misinformed, and I have to give thanks to Rob Haynes for writing in and letting me know that. This next section of comic culture is brought to you by The Hand. For centuries, we have been providing customers with a wide variety of ninja services, including kidnapping, theft, protection, and assassination. When you think of ninjas, think of The Hand. And, of course, The Hand is one of the Daredevil's foes.
Right. Do they still have to pay us when you butcher all the lines?
You know, I'm not too sure we're getting paid anyways. So, you know what?
You're safe then, right?
I'm pretty safe, yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty safe. Chris, maybe they'll cut off my hand.
Right. Yeah. Chris, I don't know how it happens.
Yes.
When you and I get together, we talk a lot about nothing, and time seems to just go away.
Well, it's true. It's true.
And so I had a talk. A topic? Yes,
okay.
To discuss today. And that was when I was looking through the New This Weeks, and I've been looking through the New This Weeks for the last few weeks and
okay.
stuff, and it's just something hit me is that there's, at this moment, at this juncture in time, there's no big thing going
no,
on.
No, you know what? You're absolutely right.
There's no big event happening.
You know, the DC Emerald Green Lantern thing is kind of winding down. It's been going on for a long time now.
It's,
you know,
it doesn't seem like it's a big
event. It's not a big event anymore.
It seems like it's a monthly thing.
Marvel doesn't seem to have anything big going on right now.
But they're not even segueing, into some other big event.
No, they're really not. And there's really nothing big going on right now in the comic book industry. And, you know, it's like, you know, you and I were talking about it before the show about how, you know, well, what are we going to talk about as far as big events? And really, we're having problems coming up with what's going on because there's really nothing.
Yeah.
And is this something that, you know, is it because the school year is starting, the summer's over, Christmas hasn't started, you know, or the whole Christmas rush, I should say. You know, what is it about this time period that there's nothing going on?
Yeah, but usually the companies at this time are preparing you for the next big event. Oh, you know, Secret War,
right.
Or Dark Reign,
right.
or Darkest Night, or
something,
whatever,
yeah,
you know, or something. And really, kind of right now,
it seems like there's nothing going on, even for the Christmas rush. There's nothing going on. There's nothing being prepared. There's nothing down the pipe. You know, I don't know what it
now,
is.
Now, okay, What was the first big event, you think? What was the first big, you know, okay.
In comics?
In comics, where it's like definitely you got to pick up these 8 or 10 or 20 well, or 12
twen?
Issues.
I want to pick up issue number 20.
Excuse me? Do you have issue 20? I'm missing 20.
I would have to say, I remember Crisis on Infinite Earths and Secret Wars were both coming out around the same time.
Like mid-80s, yeah. Right?
And I remember at the time, it was one of those things where most people were buying either one or the other. Not very many people were buying both. Some people were. But that was one of the bigger events going on at the time. I would say Secret Wars more so than Crisis, but then mm-hmm. the DC fans will say it was definitely Crisis.
Right.
So it depends on who was buying what at the time.
Right. And then I guess the success of those bred others, right. And then it bred others, right. And then it bred others. And then it got – probably culminated, I would say the apex of the whole thing was probably Marvel's Civil War.
You mean just a couple years ago? Or?
Yeah. In terms of that's the high point in terms of it doing its job and it gaining publicity, drawing old comic fans back into comics.
Yeah.
I think the Civil War thing got a lot of press.
Yeah. Civil War did, but you know what? I have to say that, I think, the newer Crisis comic, what was it called now?
Crisis of Multiple Earths?
No.
Kingdom Come?
No. That was a big
one,
too.
That wasn't a crisis, right?
The Crisis one with Ralph Dibny's wife getting murdered.
Oh, yeah. That was Infinite Crisis.
Infinite Crisis.
Or Identity Crisis.
Identity, that's what it was. Identity Crisis. Yeah. I think that was a bit of a culmination. I think that was certainly – because that was the one of the – that was it was before Infinite Crisis, and I think that was it was by sort of a bigger name writer.
Yeah.
But it also brought back a lot of people who were involved in comics in the past because it had that Crisis kind of title to it.
Right. I still think, though, the Civil War thing had way, way more press. Sales were even stronger, but that's something that we can check, obviously. Yeah. Thing, though, is I think what both you and I are alluding to here is that the ones that you and I have both picked as kind of the culmination of it happened a few years ago.
Definitely.
And it's kind of, I won't say waning now, but it seems like it's not growing.
Well, you know what? The problem with this is they really didn't – for a number of years, they didn't do the same kind of marketing that they have been doing recently for these issues. And they didn't do that sort of must-have sort of marketing. But now everything's a must-have. Everything's, like, to be continued. Like, you know, you had the Civil War and you had the Secret Wars and you had the, everything that happened, like the Avengers, Dark Avengers, mm-hmm. and all those kind of things. And everything's
Dark Reign.
Yep. And everything ended, but it never really ended. It just kind of went on to the next one. So I think people are getting tired of that.
Just let it end already.
Let it end for, and I think the same thing
Shoot
is
me.
Same thing's happening with the whole Emerald Green Lantern thing. People are like, okay, you know what? Enough already. You know what? I get it. Let's just go on to something else for a change. And I think people are getting tired of these enormous events.
Do you think we'll ever get back to the just one-off stupid stories,
You know
just
what?
One-off where Superman battles a gorilla.
I wish. I would love to see
And you
those
go
stories.
And you pick up your comic and you read it and you have a good laugh.
And you know what?
You come back and you have no idea what to expect next month from your Batman comic.
But not only that, Ian, you don't have to pick up the next one. Right. You're not compelled.
But you will because you had such fun picking up this one.
Exactly.
It'll never go back.
I used to love those. Every once in a while, an issue like that would come out of DC or Marvel, and I would love those issues because, man, you know what? Here's a fun comic. I got a chance to read a great comic, and it was a one-off, and, man, like, I just had a great time reading it, and I didn't have to worry about going out and getting the next one. I would, of course, because I was a fan anyways, but you know what? It was just good to not have to do it. But you know what? I think those things are happening every once in a while with specials and with anniversary issues and that kind of thing. And hopefully they'll come back to that idea. Once again, Walt, I don't know how to tell you this, but we're running out of time here. We've got like a minute left. One of the things I haven't mentioned is if you do have any – if our listeners have any comments or questions about our show, please write to us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or at mailbox at bigbcomics.com to get all your feedback. We're always welcome to hear what you have to say, and we're more than happy to hear your responses. Please let us know what you think of the show. And Walt, do you have anything else to add?
No, we're going to see everyone next week.
Have yourself a great, wonderful Wednesday, and go out there and support your local comic book retailer. Have a great day.